Continue with our study in the book of Psalms. We are in Psalm 42, and our text today is Psalm 42 verses 6 to 11. And also we will be moving into Psalm 43. I read to you Psalm 42 verses 6 to 11. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. While they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Now we said in our last study that Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 were no doubt a single psalm originally, which then got separated into two psalms, most probably for liturgical purposes. And we find the repeated refrain in both the psalms. Psalm 42 verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. And we find this refrain repeated again in Psalm 42 verse 11, and also in Psalm 43 verse 5. The general theme of both the psalms is also the same, and we said that Psalm 42 begins book 2 of the book of Psalms. The collection of psalms in book 2 is distinguished from book 1 primarily by the fact that the Hebrew word for God, which is Elohim, predominates book 2. But in book 1, the Hebrew word for the Lord, which is Yahweh, predominates. The title of Psalm 42 and 43, which was originally one psalm, states, to the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. Now we learned how Korah was a grandson of Kohath the Levite. Korah was killed for rebelling against the Lord, and we find the narration of this rebellion in Numbers chapter 16. But Korah's sons escaped judgment. Numbers 26 verse 11. But the sons of Korah did not die. The sons of Korah later on became worship leaders appointed by David to serve in the sanctuary. The author of the psalm, one of the sons of Korah, was evidently a Levite who was exiled among the Gentiles, and we said that he may have been taken captive by the Arameans of Damascus in Syria during one of their military raids of Judah. And he cries out in Psalm 43 verse 1, vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. Those who had taken him captive oppressed him, and they persecuted him for his faith. The psalmist was a worship leader who had apparently led groups of pilgrims to Jerusalem for the assigned festivals. Psalm 42 verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Now, it was a time for such a journey to Zion, but the psalmist is unable to go. He was in enemy territory. He's in enemy territory.
in captivity and he is persecuted. And this grieves his heart because he felt that the Lord had forgotten him. Psalm 42 verse 9, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Psalm 43 verse 2, for you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? We also tried to imagine ourselves in the place of the psalmist. There has been rebellion against God in your father's bloodline. God is merciful to you. He spares you from judgment. God then raises you to a position of leadership in his sanctuary as a worship leader. Then you go into captivity because of the sin of your own people. And you long to lead your people to worship in the sanctuary in Zion, but you are unable to go because you are in captivity. Of course, we can never feel what the psalmist felt in reality because our situation is so different today. But we said that we can observe the psalmist going through three stages before he comes to victory and peace. So we can learn from these different stages and be equipped to handle trouble and trials and even persecution, which is inevitable as a Christian. And when we put these two psalms together, we see first a longing for God in verses 1 to 5 in Psalm 42. Then we see remembering God. The psalmist remembering God, Psalm 42 verses 6 to 11. And then we see in Psalm 43, the psalmist is simply trusting God. Now last time we looked up to verse 5 of Psalm 42. And today we will begin with verse 6 and then move on to Psalm 43. Remembering God, that's what the psalmist is doing in verses 6 to 11 in Psalm 42. And it is my prayer that the Lord would minister his word to our hearts, whatever the circumstances or trouble or trial we are in. In verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 42, the emotional and spiritual landscape changes from drought to a storm. Psalm 42 verses 6 and 7. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you. I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. The writer was feeling like he was drowning in sorrow and pain. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Now the Jordan River has its source in the ranges of Mount Hermon in Israel. The rains and melting snow would turn the rivulets into cascades of water and dangerous waterfalls. And if a person is caught in these cataracts, there can be great suffering and even death. And this is the image of intense suffering. That is what the psalmist pictures here in these verses. Psalm 69 verses 1 to 2, we see there, Psalm 69 verses 1 to 2, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. Again in Psalm 88 and verse 7, your wrath lies heavy upon me and you overwhelm me with all your waves. In the book of Jonah chapter 2 verses 4 to 5, we read, then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. In Psalm 42 verse 6 we read, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you. He begins to remember God. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Now this word Mizar means littleness. And certainly the writer of the psalm felt very small in the midst of the storm. But he made a very wise decision when he decided to remember God. Therefore I remember you. The cascades, waterfalls, cataracts and waves, all of that belong to God. And he owns the universe. And there is nothing out of his control. And so there was nothing to fear. This reminds us of the night when Jesus walked on the water and that frightened his disciples. We also go through such frightening circumstances in life. Yet, the Lord was in full command of the whole situation. The disciples were frightened. Matthew chapter 14 verses 23 to 33. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You see, God was in control. The disciples were terrified. But here is the Lord in total control. He was in command. No matter how difficult and dangerous the circumstances are in life, we must remember always, we must remember that He is in control and He is in command. Therefore, there is nothing that we need fear. Psalm 42 verse 8. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Commands His steadfast love. Watch those words. Psalm 33 verses 8 to 9. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Psalm 71 verse 3. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Remember, the Lord is in control and He is in command. He is the one who actually commanded Peter to come out, to walk on the water. And Peter began to walk on the water, obeying the command. But then he looked around and saw the waves, and that's how he began to sink. Psalm 91 verse 11. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. The psalmist knew that a new day would dawn and the situation will look different. Like David's storm experience recorded in Psalm 29, we see God on His throne and we anticipate the glory and peace after the storm. The storm will not continue to remain a storm. It will have to end. Believers in Christ today, remember the waves of God's wrath that went over Jesus on the cross when He experienced the storm, His Calvary baptism. When James and John and their mother asked Jesus for positions on His right hand and left in the kingdom, Jesus told them in Matthew 20 verse 22, but Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto Him, "We are able." He's actually speaking about His death on the cross. Those are the waves that are going to come over Him. Speaking about His death on the cross, Jesus said in Luke 12 verse 50, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." But don't forget, while we go through the storms of life, God can give us songs in the night as we wait for the dawning of a new day. Psalm 77 verses 4 to 6. "You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search." Job chapter 35 and verse 10. Job 35 and verse 10. "But none says, where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night?" Before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, remember, Jesus is going to face the cross. And so from the upper room, they moved to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives. And before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ sang. They sang. Matthew chapter 26 verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. When Paul and Silas were put in jail in Philippi, Luke records in Acts chapter 16 verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Psalm 42 verse 8, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. In verse 8 of Psalm 42, the writer uses the word Jehovah instead of Elohim. The word Lord is Jehovah in the original Hebrew text. And if you have a New King James Bible, it will be L-O-R-D in capital letters. This was a turning point in his difficult experience. Jehovah is the God of the covenant. He is the faithful God who cares for his people. He is the God who showers his people with loving kindness. He gives them promises that they can put their trust in and they can pray. He hears them when they praise and worship. The writer didn't have to go to Jerusalem to worship. He could worship God right where he was. The hand of God was with him in the daytime, and the song of the Lord was with him in the long hours of the night. Now everything might be changing around us, but the Lord is still the rock. All around the psalmist, all kinds of things were happening. Persecution, trouble, being taunted by the enemy. But the Lord was still his rock, stable, strong, unchanging. Psalm 42 verse 9, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? He's just pouring out his heart to God. He knows one thing, God is his rock, stable and strong and unchanging. Psalm 18 verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalm 18 verse 31, for who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? Psalm 18 verse 46, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. God tells Moses in Exodus chapter 33 in verse 22, Exodus 33 verse 22, and while my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 verses 3 to 4, for I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 2, there is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. When everything around us is changing all the time, when things so unexpected are happening, when danger lurks all around us, remember, the Lord is still our rock. He is stable, he is strong, he is faithful, he is unchanging, and we can just cry out to him, and we can be assured of the fact that he will surround us with the joy of his presence. He is our rock, our refuge. Then the psalmist moves on to trusting God. And that's what Psalm 43 is all about. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre. O God, my God, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. The landscape changes a third time as the dawn announces the morning and reminds the psalmist of God's light and truth. Morning by morning, he awakens me. Psalm 50 verse 4. Isaiah 50 verse 4. He gives me the tongue of the learned to sustain the weary. God gives us his light and truth morning by morning. The Lord had led Israel from Egypt, to the promised land by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So his light and truth, his faithfulness, would bring the psalmist back to Jerusalem. Send out your light and your truth. This innocent exile, son of Korah, he will be vindicated before his accusers and he will be rescued from an ungodly nation because his strength was in the Lord alone, the rock of his salvation. He speaks to God who is his rock. Psalm 42 verse 9, I say to God, my rock. Soon his despair would be replaced by joy. And as we trust in the Lord, we must remember that God's goodness and mercy follow God's people. Don't forget that. Psalm 23 verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's light and truth lead his people. Psalm 43 verse 3, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. So God's light and truth lead his people. Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Again, Psalm 26 and verse 3, for your steadfast love is before my eyes and I walk in your faithfulness. Psalm 40 verse 10, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Verse 3 of Psalm 43, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. God's holy hill is Mount Zion, where God's sanctuary was located, the dwelling place of God. Now the writer wasn't just exulting in freedom from his enemies and a return from exile to his native home. He was thinking of that great privilege of visiting God's altar and offering his sacrifices and praising the Lord. Now we must remember, the psalmist has made great progress. Since the time he watched the deer, remember he was watching the deer, the hind, seeking for water. Psalm 42 verses 1 to 2. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. You see there his longing for God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. The living God in verse 2 became the God of my life. Psalm 42 verse 8. Psalm 42 verse 8. The living God in verse 2 became the God of my life in verse 8. Psalm 42 verse 8. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Now, God is God my exceeding joy and God my God. Psalm 43 verse 4. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God my God. So his focus is no longer on himself or his disappointments or his circumstances or the dangers that lurk around him, but his focus is on the Lord is God, and that makes the difference. The refrain in Psalm 43 verse 5 must not be read with the same dejected voice as Psalm 42 verse 5 and also in verse 11 of Psalm 42. In Psalm 42 verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. But that's not how it should be read in verse 5 of Psalm 43. Faith in Jehovah has changed everything. In fact, the New American Standard Version and the New King James Version translates the latter part of Psalm 43 verse 5 as, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Psalm 43 verse 5. The word help can also be translated as health. In Numbers chapter 6 verses 22 to 27, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. When by faith we see the face of God smiling upon us, our own countenance brightens up and become spiritually healthy. We know that God is for us and that God will set us free and God will guide us to His holy city where we shall worship Him and sing His praises. Psalm 30 verse 5. For His anger is but for a moment and His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Psalm 42 verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation. Perhaps you've asked the same question. Why do we have hours? Why do we have hours and sometimes days, perhaps weeks of depression and discouragement? There may be times when we are not at our best physically. Remember Elijah. He had to battle the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And when God sent fire from heaven, remember? When it was all over, he was so tired. And he was drained. His nerves had been stressed to the breaking point. And after this, what do we see? We find him fleeing from the threat of Jezebel. He ran for miles and he needed food and he needed rest. And God sent an angel to feed him and give him rest. Sometimes our depression is satanic. The enemy is throwing darts at us. And when we are off guard, we succumb to those darts. Instead of holding up the shield of faith and slaying the darts of the enemy with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, we fail to trust God. Then what happens? Those darts of the enemy start fires of depression and discouragement in our lives. Sometimes our depression comes from guilt because of unconfessed sin. Sometimes it's just sorrow because of difficult circumstances. We may have lost a loved one or a friend. Sometimes we feel that we have failed and that everything has come to an end. So what is the solution to all this? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Psalm 43 verse 5, that's the solution. You have a secure future in Jesus Christ. The best is yet to come. Hope in God and start praising Him. The psalmist said, I shall yet praise Him. But don't wait. Start praising Him now. The best thing to do when you get discouraged is to praise the Lord immediately. That's the best thing to do. That's the antidote to depression. Praise is the greatest medicine for the broken heart. The psalmist praised God for help of His countenance. No matter what you feel or whatever your circumstances, if you look to the face of God, you will discover that He is smiling on you. He is smiling on you. If you're guilty and hold unconfessed sin in your heart, you need to repent and ask Jesus for forgiveness. Generally, the cure for being down is to hope in God and praise Him. Your hope in Him is well found, for He is faithful. He is faithful to His word. We all have days when we feel as though God has forsaken us and when it seems the enemy is winning and we are losing. On such a day, the psalmist prayed, Psalm 43 verse 3, send out your light and your truth. And these words represent the deep desire of the psalmist to know and to do the will of God. And that should be our desire too. We live in a world smothered in moral and spiritual darkness. John 3 verse 20, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. Not only is our world dark, but it is also a deceived world. People love and believe lies. Mark Twain was the one who said, a lie runs around the world while truth is putting on her boots. But we have God's light and truth to guard us. God's light and truth are found in His word. Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And that's why, brothers and sisters, I've been speaking over and over again about our personal time alone with God. Get into that discipline of cultivating time alone with God early in the morning. Give God, don't give God the fag end of the day. Give God the early hours of the day. And you'll find you're so productive. There is so much more that has been accomplished because you've been walking with God. Because you've received from Him. You have received His light and truth. And His light and truth are found in His word. Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, when I get up in the morning and I get to the word of God, I pray that prayer every day. Open my eyes, Lord, to see wonderful truths out of thy holy law. What happens when you open God's word? Remember, God's spirit dwells in your spirit because you're born again. And the Holy Spirit testifies to your spirit that you're a child of God. Not only does He testify that you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. That means the Holy Spirit is ministering to our spirits. Now, how do we know what is the Holy Spirit saying? When you open the pages of the Word of God and begin to dwell in His Word, what happens is that your physical eyes are receiving from the Holy Spirit, ministering to your spirit through the Word of God. And when you receive God's Word through your physical eyes, God's Word enters your mind, and then God's Word enters your heart. That's why you pray that prayer, Lord, write your Word upon my mind and my heart. And when you pray over what God has spoken to you, you're submitting and surrendering your will to God. Your soul, that means your mind, your emotion, and your will, your mind, your heart, and your will is given into the Lord's hands. And He will lead you by His light and truth. The Word of God guides God's children into God's will and on the path that God has chosen for them. That path ultimately leads to Him. Psalm 43 verse 3. Send out your light and your truth and let them lead me. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. You see, when we are walking in step with the Spirit, listening to the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to us by His Word, then we are walking in the will of God. And when we are in the will of God, it is as though we are dwelling in His house. Yes, we do live in a dark and deceived world, but God has promised to guide and guard us through His Word in this world. The Bible is a spiritual treasure, and without it, you can soon lose your way and become vulnerable. So make sure you're feeding yourself daily on the truth of God's Word. And if you will commit yourself to time alone with God in His Word, worship, and prayer, then you will experience dwelling in His house all the days of your life. And that is indeed the most blessed place to be. Psalm 23 verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us pray.